You might notice that today's episode is a bit different to our usual format, and that's because we travelled up to Manchester to Sound and Colour Films to record these in person. That means if you're on Spotify, not only can you listen to the show, but you can also watch along. I'm afraid that is only available on Spotify, so if you're on another streaming platform, why not hop over there and watch too? Enjoy the show.
The scary thing is that we all go out and buy fire alarms, fire extinguishers, which is likely to happen you, what, like one in, I think, in 800,000 times, whilst one in five individuals gets hacked by someone. So why don't we take cybersecurity seriously?
Welcome to today's episode of Tech Talks. My name is David Savage, and today I'm joined by Patrick Smith, the founder and CEO of Zally. There are a great many criminals out there who would try and gain access to your devices. And are passwords really up to the job? Today, we're going to find out if there's something slightly better out there. Patrick, thank you for taking the time and joining me today for this podcast interview. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You've not had to travel far.
No, I live around the corner, so I could have walked almost.
Decided not to.
It was raining a bit. So.
Yeah, although you've just told me that the weather here is one of the selling points of Manchester, yeah, given that you're originally from Norway.
I have to always sell the weather. Because it's better weather here than somewhere else, and especially where I'm from and grew up.
Fairly low bar.
Yeah. But I was used to fighting polar bears on the street of Oslo growing up. So I'm used to snow. Right. The weather we have now in when we record, it's the same as we have during the summer, and it's soon Christmas here now. So the weather. You can complain as much as you want about the weather. It's just the way you dress. And if you dress accordingly, like we do in Norway, it's not cold outside because we have three layers on.
Yeah.
So that's what I forget, because everybody, all my friends up here, they joke about Patrick. Why are you freezing now? You should be a Viking. I was like, yeah, but we dress accordingly there. A jacket that can like handle 40 minus degrees, which we don't do here.
Yeah, no, I've not been to Norway, but I have been to Iceland and was thoroughly unprepared for the weather in Iceland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, I can imagine. Anyway, look, that aside, you are CEO and founder of Zally.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about who Zally are, first of all?
Yeah, so Zally is a startup based in Manchester. Mm-hmm. We work with building a technology that allows us to do continuous user authentication.
Yeah.
We utilize behavioral biometric. That's the way we interact with our smart devices as a way to distinguish and also confirm it's the right user. So by using that technology, you can get rid of passwords, you can give somebody access, you can start somebody's car, because we're able to confirm this is a David or not just by the way you interact with your smart devices. That's mobile, desktop, tablet, and laptop.
And this is what? The apps that I click on, how long I take to skip tracks on Spotify, how long I, you know, what are we talking about here in practice?
We're using 80 data points now to collect data from. That's your accelerometer, the speed that you raise the phone to your ear is an example.
Right.
Your gyroscope is where you tilt the phone. Magnetometer, which is the attraction to your magnetic north. The true heading on the device, keystroke dynamics, and a lot of other things. Walking gait analysis,
yeah,
you name it. Like there's so many things that you can collect now on these devices. And then on a laptop, you have your mouse movements, typing speed, mm-hmm. The way you type. And the scary thing is that you can listen into way an individual typed their password and identify that based on the sound.
One potentially stupid question, but if you had your software running in the background, what about the battery impact on your mobile phone?
No, so these are sensor data that is already running in the background.
Right. Okay.
So GPS or location data is what typically drains your battery on your devices.
Yep.
We found ways around it. So it doesn't drain your battery.
That's good. Yeah. Right, look, let me tell you something that will probably horrify you. I have all of my passwords written down on a Google Docs document.
Yeah.
Because I regularly forget and what I've got for what different service. Yeah. I'm assuming you tell me that that's a really stupid thing to do.
Yes, I'm going to tell you now. Before we had this interview, we actually hacked your computer, so we have access to all your... No, I'm joking. but that's scary because you know that you only need access to your Google account.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're using the same password there as you use many other places.
Yeah, there's a fair few that are shared. I mean, I should probably change this between revealing that to you and this going out.
Yeah. But then again, I'm not going to ask what your password is. I'm going to save you for that. But the thing is that if somebody then steals access to your Google account, then they have access to, I would say, your whole life online, mm-hmm. which is super, super scary. And it's no way to protect yourself against that. But if somebody steals your phone and get access to your Google email on your phone by having a 4-digit PIN, which they then have access to, then they can access anything and then change your password, change your iCloud account. So I would highly advise you to think differently. But maybe you should do this over Christmas.
Yeah.
Storing all eggs in one basket is scary.
I have to be honest, I struggle to remember the various different nuances to passwords that different apps ask for different reasons.
Yeah.
You've got to have a character. You don't have to have a character. This one's got to have numbers in. This one doesn't. And therefore you end up with slight variations and you end up getting it wrong. And then you have to reset your password and then it's something slightly different. Am I typical?
Yes. So the average individual has like 100 to 120 passwords. This is the prime example that you are fed up with the situation. So you end up just putting everything in an Excel spreadsheet for a hacker to just get access to you. We shouldn't talk about this because if they hack you now, which is so easy.
Yeah.
So you're going to do something about it.
I am.
I'm going to help you.
But I thought this is let's be kind of totally genuine, and I'll be honest about the way that I currently have my security set up or lack of.
No, so it is super super scary because everybody uses a master password and store all their eggs in one basket, or you typically like you are saying here now have it in. Either written down in a notebook that can easily be stolen,
yeah.
or they use the same password across everything. The scary thing is that we all go out and buy fire alarms, fire extinguishers, which is likely to happen to you, one in 800,000 times, whilst one in five individuals gets hacked by someone.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we take cybersecurity seriously? So that is the main reason. So we want to protect users, but also from a business point of view, is that 3 out of 4 individuals leaves the digital interaction just when they do a password reset.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, as you mentioned, like when you need to reset your password, it's like, I can't remember it. And it's like, oh, let me just do this later. So then you leave the digital interaction. So a lot of money is left on the table for the e-commerce businesses or any vendors out there. And that will change by removing what Sally does, is that removing that friction, because there's no need for a password reset, because we know and are able to confirm this is the right user. For that reason, there's no need to have a password. So Sally is pioneering the space now by being able to confirm you are you continuously, because all the other ways of authenticating users today is point-in-time exercises.
Let's come back to a couple of those points for the moment. But before we do, can we just frame the size of the issue, I suppose, for people? If they're watching, let's set some context around it. When you say, you know, someone can hack me, what is the size of that market, the criminal market, that I suppose is fueling those activities?
It's massive. Like, we're talking billions gets lost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't know about this before it happens to us and starting to do research and how to protect ourselves. Sadly, a lot of people think by using just their antivirus program that will create a firewall and secure them. This is more related to password and somebody gaining access to some of your platforms. And as we previously mentioned, is that a lot of people are using the same password across all their access points. And that's makes it more scary. But to answer your question, it's way, way bigger than we think of. And it's growing. And especially now with generative AI, all the AI solutions that is out there, quantum computing coming around, it's scary.
And the way it's always been framed to me by people in the industry is that criminals are opportunistic. Is that something that you'd agree with? You know, it's these people aren't necessarily targeting you. They're just looking for people who, like myself, maybe have made stupid choices. There's an opportunity, right? You know, someone's walked out their house. They left the window open. Let's rob that house.
Yeah, of course. Like if your door to your car is open, they will go and set your new car. It's as simple as that. And of course, you're not going to try to get into a vault in a bank if you can just go straight in and open a cash register and take money out of it. Mm. So they're looking for opportunities, and they use tools. So remember this: they're using tools that allow them to scan the internet really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. So we think as a user that the hackers are sitting and scanning the internet, trying to get the code from you and things like that. And they're doing it manually, one by one. That's not the case. Mm. Like if they find a password, they insert that in a portal, check 2,000, 3,000 pages in one go, they get a green light, get a hit, and then there we go. And they reset that password, and then they start to get access to a lot of other portals.
And I would imagine, from a business point of view, the move towards greater flexibility in working has only exacerbated this problem because, forgive me if this is a wrong kind of reading of the situation, but prior to the pandemic, working from home wasn't quite as ubiquitous as it now is. More people therefore probably have mobile devices that belong to a company than they maybe did have before, or user devices in terms of laptops that they've just got at home. And I imagine that they're probably using the same passwords for those company corporate devices as they are for their personal devices, and therefore that vulnerability has got wider.
Yeah. But of course, there are different factors that is needed to authenticate themselves for workforce authentication, mm-hmm. like your multi-factor that is now also getting adopted by personal users. Multi-factor, one-time passwords. You have your USB keys with fingerprint readers, stuff like that. That can be used to secure workforce. But that again is that most of these examples, human error, where they have insert their password in the wrong place, expose that. We've seen recently, which we use as memes on our social media a lot. People that is taking photos or getting interviews, and they can see behind them their passwords to the Wi-Fi in the background, or password to something else. I have a friend that runs an IT company in the Northwest. And when they onboard new clients, and then the way that they identify the passwords, because nobody knows their password and they can't ask around for it, they just go around, take up the keyboard and see underneath, and there's a post-it note, and that's their password to the computer. That happens like 9 out of 10 times. It's crazy. And I thought he was joking. And then they started to go out. There was a new client, like a large client they were onboarding. And he started to take photos to send to me because he knows I'm in the space. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's on the screens. They think that nobody will access. But the thing is that you can never trust anyone no longer when it comes to this. So it's super, super scary. We should take it seriously. We're not just like by using Sally. Of course, we try to build a business here and using Sally, but protect yourself in the best possible way. The way that we're going to help you now set up a good vault to protect your assets.
So come back to this point of continuous authentication.
Yeah.
How quick is that? Like, if someone else was to pick up my phone, how quickly would your service recognize that it's not me?
So let's take one step back. We need to train a model. So we're using machine learning algorithms to distinguish, and AI is part of this. So it takes 15 minutes today to train the model on how you interact and create enough data to actually be able to say this is a David or not. Once we have that, it takes 15 milliseconds to authenticate that this is the right user. Mm-hmm. So we are able then to block you out if it's not David that is accessing this platform within milliseconds, which is just incredible. with having the level of 99% accuracy, what you will ask them, what will happen with the 1%? That's a false positive. We will never let anybody in. We will then have fallback mechanism, which I'm not going to talk about today, but we have fallback mechanisms of how we can then confirm and re-authenticate it as the real user. You will never be locked out, or we will never lock or log on a bad actor or somebody that shouldn't have access to this account.
And how are people using the service then? Because you said there's no need for passwords. If I kind of think about challenger banks, right? I have my salary paid into my traditional high street bank, and then I use Monzo kind of as a spending account. But I would feel slightly nervous, I suppose, about necessarily paying my salary into Monzo. Are people keeping their passwords and then using Zally as kind of a fail-safe? Or are you advocating to them that, like, no, you can get rid of your passwords and just trust us wholly?
So remember, a password is a hash in the code that can be easily be replicated or hacked.
Yeah.
Or it can be stolen if they're not able to replicate you. So it's far more secure than anything else.
Yeah.
Because unless you can be replicated. So we've done some tests now. We're using some ethical hackers. And by coincidence, the ethical hackers that we use are identical twins.
Right, okay.
So it's quite interesting. So we have like a few people that are testing because we just launched an alpha test. And they are testing the platform, how they can access their devices and what type of similarities they have in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We also met with some identical twins, women, the other day. They are open to both open their devices on Face ID, but also fingerprint. And that's it's even more scary. So we are then seeing that, can you have a digital twin out there just based on your look? I don't know if you knew this, but one in a million can open your Face ID just by having the same pattern in the face.
I heard statistics that everyone has a doppelganger out there.
So it is possible. With replicating your movement patterns, we don't have the data yet, but we're talking like one to hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
Which makes it far more secure than anything else out there. But also you mentioned the continuous authentication element here, which is interesting. So why do we need to be continuously authenticated? Is when you're accessing, let us like say your Monzo account or your high street bank, is that that's a point in time exercise. And I'm sure you've seen if you log in online on a desktop, it says like you need to now do something, do an action to not be logged out without 2 minutes. That's because it was only the point in time that you actually were authenticated that they gave you access and knew this was David.
Yep.
Because you were likely to be in the right password, having the right credentials, all of that. We are able, from login to when you decide to leave, or just leave it open, is fine with us as well, because the next person that will come on the portal, we will log you out from the system because we're able to see the unseen user.
And you mentioned that it takes, 15 minutes to learn your behaviors, your traits?
Yep.
In the background, is it then continually assessing those traits and those behaviors?
Yes.
Because obviously we all change over time.
We do. Did you know that your phone takes a picture of you every 30 seconds on an iPhone?
I did. Well, I have an Android, so...
Yeah, okay. So you're safe.
Probably not, but...
You give away your whole life here.
I'm not going to say anything I've shown how silly I can be.
Yeah. It evolves over time. Whilst your password, the more you use the same password, only gets weaker over time.
Mm-hmm.
With Sally, we evolve over time because we retrain constantly and continuously, the algorithm that are able then to confirm you are you. So if you break your hand, get hit by a bus, God forbid, or something happens, we're able then to retrain the model.
We started by chatting a little bit about you being up here in Manchester.
Yeah.
You talked before we hit record about wanting to be kind of a unicorn here in this particular environment.
Yeah.
You're probably expecting me to ask the question, why Manchester, and frame it, why not London? But why Manchester and why not Leeds? Why Manchester and why not Liverpool?
Good question, because all of them are great places to start a business, from what I know now, from working with a lot of businesses in Liverpool and Leeds, and or even Newcastle, where you are from originally. So we're giving away so much data about you here today. It's incredible. Soon we know your password, Newcastle 1234.
No, thankfully not.
No. It's an exclamation mark there as well. So after spending 7 odd years in London, I had a conversation with Innovate UK that I had a partnership when starting out on this journey with Sally. And they said, you should be closer to the cybersecurity community. And I think you will find a lot of talent in Manchester. So I went to my wife and I joked about it. I said, like, we move into Manchester.
Where's she from?
She's also from Norway.
Okay.
Yep. So we're both from there. I'd done this once before when we moved from Norway to London. So I was 100% sure that she would say no. She came back later that day. I said, I've done some research. This is where we're going to live. These are the schools. This is X, Y, Z. If we can do that, let's try it. And I would say that that's been the best decision we made as a family to start with before we're talking about the business aspect of it. It's far better to live up here. It's not as stressful. You can go out hiking in the weekends. It's good nature. As we talked about earlier, it's fantastic weather up here. It is a great place to live, but also it's a great place to run a business.
You mentioned about being closer to the cybersecurity industry.
Yep.
And skills. I think 56% of digital leaders are concerned about a skills shortage.
Yep.
What's the scene like here in Manchester? Do you think that there's, I mean, obviously we've got some fabulous universities in the region and that obviously gives you access to emerging talent, but do you think enough's being done to nurture that talent?
So that's slightly up to our, it's our responsibility as leaders to upskill the staff that we have, encourage them, train them, make sure that they could get the tools that is needed to actually execute in the best possible way. But I think, as you mentioned, we have close relationship to all the universities in Manchester and surrounding areas. And that's the way that we attract new talent. I think also using social media, using partners to get the word out there, what you're trying to achieve and get people on the journey and actually share the story. So what I've seen in the past and what I normally rave about to other founders from Manchester is that we need to be bolder and braver about what we do. We need to shout more about it. We need to be given more of these opportunities, sitting down with you and having these conversations and getting actually the word out there about what we do here in Manchester. Because it's a fantastic scene. And as I mentioned previously, like the support that you get here as a business owner is incredible. So it's not as competitive as it is in London. And I see also that a lot of the founders are very supportive, no matter if they're in the same industry, because if you succeed, you all succeed together.
So let's finish with a couple of questions. As a business leader, what do you talk to your peers about? What is it that's the burning question in your mind when you're going and say you're at a conference? What do you want to know?
So what I want to know, important for Manchester, how can we attract, number one, more talent here? Mm-hmm. But how can we attract more funding into the Northwest? What is getting done to achieve this? And how can we be better? And this is always that I talk about to get some good learnings on how can we be better at getting the word out there. Why do we need to keep it within the four walls of the office? Why can't we get it out there? Because a lot of people in London, I'm not saying this is everyone, because there's a lot of great businesses that is great about shouting and raving about it. Mm-hmm. But there are some businesses that I can mention some names that you heard on the global scale, but they have 1,000, 1,500 people in Manchester, we have three of the largest gaming providers in Europe with like billions of valuation, which you never heard of. Are they based up here? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But think about then also the amount of talent that is up here because of that reason. GCHQ, the government's intelligence agency, they sit in the same building as us. So they are based in central Manchester for that reason, to attract more talent and be more visible. We don't have a sign on the wall, so they're not that visible, but they exist here. And they want to be known that they are represented here.
And as a last point, an obvious one, if someone wants to find out more about Zally and use the service, how do they do that?
So connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow us on Zally.com. We also are very active on social media. Mm-hmm. We're trying now to take everybody on a journey. We hired a content creator that is gonna follow us on the way to hopefully great success. Share the stories, share these type of conversations that we have here and beyond. So follow us on any platform. Follow us especially on LinkedIn and our website, and we're hoping to have as many conversations as possible. We need all the help in the world. So if there are any people out there that would like to join forces with us, challenge us, have conversations with us, or need our help for something, please reach out.
Well, look, this has been a fun conversation. More than that, it's been an educational conversation for myself.
Yeah.
A reality check.
And we have some work to do after this by changing your password habits. And we're going to make sure that you are safe and secure for the new year.
Thank you
for having
much.
Me.
Thank you for coming in.